and there's the plain white pot, and then there's the pot that is like greenish and looks organic. It's not. It's probably more expensive to make. There's more chemicals in it because there's more colors. And you pay double because in your head, that pot is organic and better for the environment. So you go for that pot. Or shampoo bottles. There's the green shampoo. And the shampoo is the same on the inside, but the bottle is green. So you go for the green one. Because in your head, it's ecologically better and you feel better about yourself. So you buy that one because you think you're contributing for a better world, but you're not.
Hey, hello everyone, and welcome to another episode of The Pink Hat. It's otherwise known as the Roze Hoed, super Dutch, Roze Hoed. And we're recording now in Vakwerkhuis in Delft, the city where Delft Fringe Festival will take place this year. It's a cutesy little city in the western part of the Netherlands. If you haven't been there, go visit. And it will be very nice if you could do so somewhere between May 28th and June 9th. And it's going to be Sunday because then there are going to be a lot of performances because of Delft Fringe Festival. Delft Fringe Festival is a performing arts festival. And performing arts, you have to think about like music, theater. We've had opera. We've had crossovers between so many things. Like there's going to be a diversity of so many things, which I'm certain that you will love. And the nice thing also is that normally these kind of things take place in theaters and take place in like the common venues that we all know where theater or music is performed. And during this festival, that is not the case. We have like cute little venues that are normally not suitable for these kind of things. And just think about a windmill, seeing a performance in a windmill or a hidden cigar factory, like an old cigar factory that was used way back when, but it's now still hidden in the heart of the city center of Delft. There are going to be performances here at Vakwerkhuis, where Delft Fringe Festival organizes the festival all year long. So there's a lot to see, a lot to experience. So yeah, I should be there. And for this episode of the podcast, I have here at the table three makers, new makers that are, I think, all new to the festival, if I recall correctly. So it's going to be a new experience. Let me introduce them to you. Sitting right across from the table from me is Uday El Omari, and your performance is called Hijra.
Yes.
And what's it going to be about?
So Hijra is actually an Arabic word, and Hijra means immigrating or going from one place to the other, which Arab did a long time ago, very often actually in the Sahara and in the Middle East. And my performance is actually theater performance, and it's actually poetic theater performance with music, like Eastern music. And it talks about emigrating or migrating from one place to another, migrating from the Middle East to the rest of the world. And it's actually a story about going from the Middle East to the West, because you want to go so badly to the West, because you hear a lot of stories about, good stories about the West. But at some point you are in the West, and then you have like a little bit of feeling you want to go home. You miss home. You miss a lot of your cultural, a lot of cultural elements. You want to go back, but you can't go back because you are starting a new life here. So it's been a struggle between going back home and staying in a place where you always wanted to go there. So. So that's all about
a lot of duality in your performance. Exactly, yeah. Thanks. On my right side, we have Fran.
Yes.
Hi. And hi. Your performance is called Familiar, Unfamiliar.
Yes.
Is it so? And on is between brackets. So
exactly.
How does it work?
So my solo is called Unfamiliar. It is about my personal experiences with suicide. Suicidal thoughts, loneliness, and physical and mental pain. I think I titled it Unfamiliar because sometimes I get the question of like, how was this? Like, how were those experiences? And I feel like always there's people that are not familiar with it, but somehow they can also connect to it. So then I came to the thing of like, oh, but maybe it is indeed such a familiar emotion or experience, but it's not so much talked about. So therefore I came to the title Unfamiliar.
Thank you for sharing that. Love to hear more about that in a bit. Before we dive in, we have one more maker at the table, Margarida Constantino.
Hello.
And your performance is called Is Dutch.
Yeah.
And it says Rite van Wat Was.
Yes.
Rite van Wat Was, can you explain what that means to you?
It's based on actually the Rite of Spring, the okay. initial idea. And it's this idea that it's based on the principles of queer ecology and corporate greenwashing as a main topic.
Okay.
But the title actually comes from this idea that we idolize nature, but actually we destroy it. So there's this relationship of self-sabotage in consequence with nature and human and nature. There's like this battlefield going on. And we idolize this thing. So it's kind of like a consecration of something that doesn't exist anymore, of this pure nature without the human touch.
Mm-hmm. So
it's a celebration of what used to be, in a way.
Very interesting.
Thank you.
Yeah, before we dive into all of that, I'd love to ask you for like a summary of what you expect out of your Delft Fringe Festival performance or experience. So I'm going to start with you, Ode. Like, if you had to describe your participation at Delft Fringe Festival in one emoticon, what would you choose?
So I'm actually choosing the emoticon. I don't know. I know there is a lot of people don't use it, but it's a thread, like a knot, a thread.
And okay.
Like it's a knot where there's, it's a knot. Mm-hmm. And so a red thread and a blue thread in each other.
Mm-hmm.
And why I chose that is because I am at Fringe Festival actually to connect with people and to see other performances and to show my own perspective on how I see the world. And I'm excited to see others also. So for me, it's all about connection and meeting new people and getting inspired and hope inspire also other people. So
nice. It's original. I never heard that one before used for experience. That's pretty cool. Fran, what about you?
I chose the one with, I don't know if you know it, but it's the one that like is really happy but has tears also.
It's
the duality. Because also when I perform my own work, but also always the reaction I get from people when I perform it, they are always like emotion. Like there is a lot of emotion. They are emotional, but there is also a sense of joy by sharing it and by exchanging it. And actually also in maybe like as a participant, I'm also looking forward to see other works and to get inspired maybe emotionally, but also just a joy to see happiness in other performances. And I hope I can also do that by showing mine.
Wow. Margarida?
I chose the robotic purple ghost. I don't know what it is. It looks like a squid. I don't know what you want. Because it's like, it's a concept that hasn't happened yet, but at the same time, it's very diverse and creative. And you don't know what it is. It's not palpable yet, but it's something and it has an effect on you. So, yeah.
All new emoticons. I never heard any of these being described for a performance. So it's like...
After this podcast, a lot of people are going to...
People are going to be like... Oh, I didn't even know this one existed. Where is it on my phone?
I use it so much.
I like to stick. I need to know more. Like greenwashing. It's kind of a big thing, and it's kind of not because you hear a lot of people that talk about the environment and being more aware of what's happening and conscious about these kind of things.
Yeah.
But greenwashing is like. Almost, maybe I could call it a niche within this.
Yes. I can give you an example.
Go for it.
That I'm sure all of us have experienced, especially in the Netherlands. It happens so much. You walk into the HEMA and there's the plain white pot. And then there's the pot that is like greenish and looks organic. It's not. It's probably more expensive to make. There's more chemicals in it because there's more colors. And you pay double because in your head, that pot is organic and better for the environment. So you go for that pot. Or shampoo bottles. There's the green shampoo. And the shampoo is the same on the inside, but the bottle is green. So you go for the green one. Because in your head, it's ecologically better and you feel better about yourself. So you buy that one because you think you're contributing for a better world, but you're not. Because to make those bottles, it actually went back to a whole process of manufacturing, and actually it's much more expensive and 10 times worse for the environment because there's a lot more colors and there's a lot more new things in the bottle, correct? And the product's the same, but you pay for it.
You pay for the illusion
of
doing something good.
Yes.
So you're actually there... How can I say this politely? They're doing something, they convince you that you're doing something good. Yeah. Well, actually, you're not.
No.
How is this possible?
I don't know. It works on us. Like, it activates your serotonin levels in your brain. You feel good. You feel like maybe you're not. But the piece is an act of greenwashing itself, if you think about it, because I got to do this performance on environmental correctness and how to portray something nice and how to investigate and how to become myself a better person by talking about a topic that is actually meaningful to other people rather than just to myself, which is what I used to do before that, which is what I was looking for something beyond myself, because I've done it before and now it's time to step out of that bubble a little bit. And then I find myself in a place where I was actually atoning for sins. And I'm actually not contributing for the environment at all, you know? I'm just making performance art. So it's, I'm just making a dance piece in the end of the day. So the performance itself, it's also a bit of a catharsis. I went through a whole roller coaster.
Yeah, which art is sometimes. Yeah. And that's so beautiful about it. But it makes me think, because you work with illusions and dreaming of something that is... might be there, but that's not here, but it's also like a little part of you because you want it to happen. In a way, Uday, it's like for you, it's the same. Like wanting something else from being in one place, wanting to go somewhere else because of maybe an illusion or maybe a reality.
It is an illusion. I think, it has like some similarities, as you said. The illusion actually that for me or for my, what I'm doing is the illusion is from the West, like from the Western countries is, and it's a fact that it's, they are developed better than other countries. And that's a fact. But what's always there is that a lot of Eastern countries and African countries and their people that living there, they always want to go to the West because of TV, because of Instagram, because of everything they see on social media and, capitalist, exactly. And so they want to go to the West because it's the perfect picture, it's perfect place to be. And then they try hard to do everything to go there. And once they are there, they become alone. They become, and I'm talking about myself actually, because I have like experienced myself. You become alone. You become. You want to go. You want to go back, but at the same time, you want to stay. And it is. It happens actually to the first generation immigrants. So I'm talking also a little bit about my father, that he immigrated from Lebanon to the Netherlands, and once you were there. I've grew up in a household where we've always been told that we are going to go back to Lebanon. But I'm like 15 years later and I think I don't want to go back because I've created my life here, you know what I mean? And at the same time, I have this feeling, this cultural elements that I want to go back, that I miss it, the food, how people interact with each other, the language, the a lot of things. So it's actually the duality between these two, and we created it ourselves because we want to create like a better life for ourselves. So it's actually a little bit of personal story that I'm telling.
But can we then call it like in search of a new home? But what is home then?
Yeah, it is actually a question in my piece, what is home and how you can create home. And I talked with a lot of people and interviewed a lot of people, and For some people, home is being with people, like being with your friends, being with your grandmother or being with your parents. For people, your home is your room, or your home is your being on the football field. Or so it's different for everybody. And for me, I'm still questioning it. I'm still looking for what is home for me. And I think for everyone, it's also different.
Makes me think, Fran, because if the question is, what is home? Then that could also be applicable in my experience. Like, what is home when everything you feel is dark and heavy and outweighed? What makes home home then? Is there a way to find a home?
Yeah, like actually when you started to speak about this, I had to like travel back to when I was experiencing my suicide thoughts, and when there is no like a feeling of home or a sense of home, you start to question like what is home indeed? What does it mean to be home? What does indeed, is it being alone? Is it having like a safe space? And I actually always, when I now like refer back to my suicide, like the only thing that really felt home to me is being busy with like moving, like dancing, music also. So also that's why I have such a different relationship also to why I create as a movement maker. For me, it's really the only thing that was there that felt home when I was suicidal. So it was also not that I needed people. It was more like a sense of an identity also for me, like finding movement and moving through life really inspired me to keep on going. Yeah. And that's maybe my home now, dancing and movement.
Dancing and movement.
Yeah.
How do you convey such a heavy thing through movement then? Does it make it easier or maybe even more difficult?
I performed the solo a couple of times already, and I feel like every time when I go through it, it becomes heavier. Because I start to see that, like, I actually work with recalling the past into the now. So I really try to recall those past memories and try to fit it into the now. So every time I go through it, it's quite heavy and it's quite, going through trauma. But at the same time, it also heals a part of me. So I think that's why I also actually chose the emoticon in the way of like, it is still heavy, and I also cry sometimes after the performance. But there is also a sense of a piece of me that finds belonging, or a piece of me that finds a voice. So that's quite nice also at the same time.
Wow. I'm gonna make a hard switch right now. Yeah, because it's such a heavy thing in that sense, and I think that will be challenging also maybe for you during the festival, because it's such a heavy experience and people might resonate with that. But also very beautiful that you share something that is so intense, but part of so many people's lives. We have prepared some statements here. It's like in the middle of the table, we've got like pieces of paper with like sentences and questions on them. Could you be the first one to like grab one and translate it to English if possible, because there are in Dutch. Yeah.
So wat is jouw grootste uitdaging als maker? So what is your biggest challenge as a maker? So my biggest challenge, because as a maker, is how to balance my what I make between making it very very personal and making it very, very that people can understand. And it's for me, it is like a little bit of a challenge always. From, am I going to make it very personal, and it's like it's for me alone, or am I going to make it a little bit broader or a little bit more general, so people can relate to it, or so people can see themselves in it. So it's always been a challenge, and still I always have to like to put something out of the theater, or a text. I have to put text out of it. And sometimes I have to interview new people, so I get like more input. So I think that's the challenge, yeah.
we'll take the opportunity because you have to perform like a lot of times during the fest. It's not going to be just one thing. And then just like, we take the opportunity then to like play with that a little bit, like changing maybe your performance. If you compare the first one to the last one that you're going to perform.
So I have the idea actually, because we're playing in different locations in the Fringe Festival, to change it a little bit to the location and to see what kind of people are living there in the location and to make it a little bit like small changes, but not a lot.
Not going to be an entirely different performance if you compare the first one to the last one. All right. Thank you for sharing that. Margarita, can I ask you to like grab one? And let's see if we can make sense of it. Oh, it's a very long. Let me read that for you.
Let's go.
Again, I'm first going to read in Dutch for you people listening that understand Dutch. Like, hoeveel procent van jouw voorstelling is uitgedacht en staat helemaal vast? En hoeveel procent is improvisatie? So what part of your performance is like set in stone? And what part of your performance you have some freedom and like where you can improvise maybe a little bit?
So we're four performers and I'm one of them. And I think I am the only... No, there's another improvisation moment. I'm the big chunk of improvisation that there is a 2-minute section, and it's me, actually. And it has to be improvisation. I cannot set it. I tried. The beginning is set. The movement mostly is set, and the cues for the dancers and stuff is set. But the emotional process I go through is improvised because it's a moment where I break the fourth wall and I try to connect to the audience in a way that I'm like, okay, so now you entertain me. Like, what do you want now? I'm here just doing all these things. We're all just performing these things. So what do you want now? And I look at the audience directly and I'm waiting. And I'm waiting for them to answer the questions that I'm asking them without actually saying them.
Mm-hmm.
And I did this because I was struggling in the studio about a year ago. And I had a whole conversation with myself in the mirror. And I thought, what if I have this conversation with the audience every time? Because I really enjoy having real reactions and I really enjoy having something, a little moment that I'm just me and the audience can be just themselves. So I think that's the only moment that is improvised. I think so, yeah.
I'm so curious. I want to see that right now. Like, we have to wait like a little bit, but I'm really curious about that. That leaves us with one more question. You, Fran, what's it gonna be?
Hoe ben je tot het thema van jouw voorstelling gekomen? How did you get to the theme of your performance? So in my I'm still in education in Fontys, and we had to create solos, and we kind of had to start from an autobiographical starting point, and it was actually super funny because I started to play with a real rope in the studio, and I tied it around me, and I was just like, the rope is so fascinating. So in my first solo, it was really about the rope, and I was doing things with the rope. The solo was there, and then I had to recreate that solo, and I started to question myself, but where does this rope come from? Like, this is really interesting. So I kind of went really deep, and I started to understand that for me, the rope really comes from the hanging, or like the image. But also at the same time, maybe a stuckness, like feeling stuck. So I kind of came to this deeper understanding of that it was a reason for me to address this theme. So from that point, it started to develop into the theme of my performance.
How do you balance the like, it's the same thing maybe that is working with. Like, how do you balance something that is so personal while making it accessible to other people?
I think for me it is maybe like how I translate it on the stage rather than the content, because I try to really translated in the sense that it's quite open, so it's not like only my perspective. I also talked through my process with certain people that also have experienced those things, so I kind of had different perspectives. And also, I think for me, translating it into, because also actually coming back to that other question of like, for me it's really all, I work with scores, so it's quite all improvised in a way. So I entered the moment and I go from there. So whatever comes out for me will say it and will translate it. So therefore, I think it becomes personal, but it will always be intentional to the audience as well. So yeah.
Beautiful. I honestly cannot wait to see it because it's so nice because all makers during the festival have such personal experiences and that come from deep within, having the need to share those with people. And I'm often very surprised that there are so many people out there resonating with something so specific. And it's beautiful to see that becomes a shared experience between people. And it makes me wonder, like, Margarita, do you have like an expectancy with this performance? Like, because it's kind of a progressive message that you have. Like, I think it, part of it maybe has to do with like making people aware that this is happening and that we have to deal with it, with this in our daily lives. And there are going to be people sitting in the audience that buy these kind of things, not knowing what is happening to them, and the thing that they have in their mind, like, I'm doing good right now, I'm good for the environment. Yeah. And you tell them, like, no, you're not. This is an illusion. So do you want to make a change?
Very honestly?
Yeah.
Yeah, of course. Will it work? Absolutely not. Like, I think we're doomed. I think, like, not to go against my whole premise and go against my whole performance, I think people really don't care unless there's a personal motivation, which was what I was looking for when I made it, because it was first a solo and then I transcended it with other dancers. And that's really the realization I had, that unless the main theme and how I started and my realization was that, why don't I care enough to make significant change, to not take these flights, because I want to take these flights to go see my family. I am going to buy this packaged food to get to my meeting faster. I'm going to take all these transports to get there. You know what I mean? You are going to do that to facilitate your life. So why don't I have that motivation, and what can make me change? And I realize that humans, at least from my experience on Earth, are our only real motivation that makes us do irrational things that do not benefit us is actually love. You're going to walk 3 hours to get to this person's house and get that explanation. You are going to text 400 times until they call you back. You are, you know what I mean? Or you are going to spend all your money to go to someone's funeral because that person meant so much to you. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Our only real motivation is love. So the theme initially was, how can I fall in love with this to make me this desperate and to change my reaction? And until people fall in love with significant things, the world's not going to change.
Maybe trying to let let people fall in love with the earth and environment, because I think it's a very important subject we're talking about. Yeah.
I also wanted to say, like, it's actually interesting to like fall back onto love, like, indeed, because I feel like also, of course, we can try to make an impact, but at the end of the day, I think it still matters if people want to go with it or love this idea that you're proposing. Yeah. So I resonate with that. Yeah, interesting.
And it makes us question, like, in what way is love limiting? Is love limiting us as human beings or not? And that brings me a little bit to your story, Ode, because is it possible maybe to be in two places at the same time and feel comfortable at those places that are completely different, but have them be equal parts within the situation of loving, accepting that you love one place for what it is and accepting the other place and loving it for what it is?
So, actually, that is the goal, to switch it up to, as you said, because at the beginning, how I experienced it is not fitting in either worlds. So not fitting here and not fitting there. And that makes you a little bit, very hard to live. You know what I mean? You don't resonate there, you don't resonate here. And when you switch it, as you said, like I can live there and I can live here. I can understand people here in the Netherlands, and but at the same time, I can understand people that's living in the Middle East, in Lebanon. So, and then a little bit falling in love again with your culture, with Lebanon, and it was a journey for me, because at the beginning I was hating it, and now with this performance is exactly as you said, like falling in love again with Lebanon, but at the same time also falling in love again with the Netherlands, because you are here, it's not the country, it's not your culture, but at the same time, you've been living here for a while. So the duality being bicultural actually is what I want to say is that being bicultural is actually more more positive impact. It has more positive impact on you than having like one culture in you. So you can understand more people than actually one kind of people. So yeah.
That's a beautiful message. And then I have to say, like, time is already up. It's going so fast. It's crazy. I'd love to ask more questions, but I think it would be better just to actually see your performance and then probably have like 1,000 new questions, which is going to be awesome. And if you're listening and you're thinking like, no, like I need to see this because I'm triggered. I need to know more. You can do so. You can buy tickets for the opening on May 28th, which is a Tuesday. And then from Wednesday onwards until Sunday, June 9th, 2024, there are going to be loads of performances, and these three wonderful people will perform as well. So hopefully see you around there, and stay tuned for the next episode.